Welcome to Game Sports and More, the podcast, episode 8. How's everyone doing this evening?
Just me, I guess. I'm doing okay.
Well, you know, it's more of a rhetorical question, I should say.
Yeah, probably.
Just asking how's our wonderful listeners how they were doing.
How are both of you doing? Thank you.
Yes, that's, yeah, pretty much. So, Richard, it's great to have you back.
Oh, it's our first Skype episode, so hopefully it turns out okay.
According to all the audio settings, we should be set, but we'll find out. So if it doesn't sound like the most amazing piece of recorded audio ever, just let us know.
Yeah, absolutely. Email us and let us know that you exist.
That's kind of more of what I'm hoping for. Just proof that someone's listening.
Just call us a bunch of little bitches. It's fine.
Hell yeah. So it's been a while. What all has been a while. Been up to?
Oh, you know, it's been a rough little few weeks, but we're getting through it and just working and doing what we needed to do and just, you know, just let everybody know that, you know, alcohol doesn't mix with having anger and you know, like, be safe. Like, had a little issue on my end as far as a buddy of mine ending up in a bad situation, so that's what I've been dealing with.
That's no good.
No, no good at all. Unfortunately, he's no longer with us. And it could have been prevented, so just take care of yourself, people.
Yeah, especially don't play with, you know.
Don't put yourself in a predicament where you can't get out of it. It's just no good.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So rest in peace, ASC. Like, that's all I'll say about it. All
right. It's a good way to say it.
Yes.
So when I was talking to you earlier today, that you said that you were hanging out at the brewery. Is this one that you were helping do some part-time work at?
Yeah, I do a little volunteer work at a brewery, just kind of help them out. One of the brewers got sick, and it's a very small brewery, so it has a big impact. And it's kind of go through and do a little grunt work, and I enjoy it. It's rewarding and it's fun. And I'm getting to learn so that I'm going to start home brewing here pretty soon.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah, next couple of months I'm starting to. You know, compile a little bit of equipment and set myself, once it starts cooling down, I set a little deadline for myself to start brewing, because you really have to brew outside if you're using a gas burning system. Don't really have a stove top that'll hold up to the weight, but it's been fun. That's been really rewarding and good, and good way to spend my spare time. And
absolutely,
what little spare time I have a day and a half off every week, and I spend probably at least a half a day, if not a full day, working at the brewery, and I enjoy it.
Well, hey, and at least it means that soon you can build your still out in the woods like the Duke boys did.
Well, I can build it in the woods. There wouldn't be much point to it, though, because I can just build it in the front yard and nobody would say anything about it.
Oh, but I know.
I know. Apparently somebody would have a little issue with my Confederate flag on top of my Dodge Charger, but, you know, true. That's a different story, I guess.
It's all good. Just because every time we record a podcast, the general is sitting on the table in front of us.
Mm-hmm. I miss you.
Aww. So that's cool, though, just hanging out, working on that. What does he have you do around there?
Oh, I clean kegs, I clean fermenters, and then if I happen to be there on a brew day, then I help him, watch him brew. I help do stuff, watch the spurges going, help with, you know, whatever needs to be helped with, really, like watching the temperature control and the chillers, or sending it to the fermenter, just whatever. Like, I basically tell them, whatever you need me to do, show me how to do it and I'll do it for you. But for the most part, I've cleaning fermenters and cleaning kegs out is what I spend most of my time doing, and I know how to do that unsupervised. So
I gotcha.
Yeah, no, it's just it's rewarding because it's a small business. You want to see them succeed, and spend whatever time I can to help them out is more than worth it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And plus, once football season starts, you'll be good to go just hanging out there, drinking beer, working at the brewery, watching football.
I know. Technically, I don't work for them, so I don't get paid, so I can drink while I'm doing my volunteer work.
Oh, awesome.
So, yeah, it works out really well for me. And now if they do have the option to getting TV in there, and he's not open on Sundays, so when I'm in there working, get some football going, it'll be good.
Hell yes, it will. And speaking of that, we have our fantasy football draft this Sunday.
Oh, yes, is this coming up Sunday, isn't it?
Yep, at 6 p.m.
I needed to do some research because I have
Me
no
too.
idea what's going on.
I know that a running back for the Texans injured his nutsack, so that's the only information I have.
Did he injure his nutsack, or did he do something to where his significant other had to injure his nutsack to keep him from using his nutsack?
It's ironic you ask that because his wife just filed for divorce because he pulled an Arnold Schwarzenegger and had a baby with a cheerleader.
Well, a cheerleader is a big bump up from what Schwarzenegger did. That housekeeper was what ugly.
True. But it's
Granted.
just funny that he was like has, a couple kids with her. Now he has another kid on the side, and his wife was like, "Oh, we'll stick through it," but apparently he didn't stop nailing just random women, so she's like, "Okay, I divorce." And then
Well,
he's, ironically
as you
injures his
do.
groin like a week later.
Oh, that's funny. Got stabbed in the balls.
Yes, he did. So,
So what have you been up to?
well, not a whole ton. I was going to ask you about if you've chosen your keepers yet.
I have to look at my list. I definitely am going to keep my tight end from Denver. Hopefully he can stay healthy this year.
Well, is that the one who got traded to the Jaguars?
What?
Yes.
Jewel? What?
Yeah, Julius Thomas is on the Jaguars now.
What the fuck? See, I am at what? Why? Why?
Because
Why
they
would they
gave
do
him,
that?
basically, because they backed up a dump truck full of money to his house.
But for a trade?
Actually, I don't know if it was trade or free agency. I don't remember which was which. It might actually have been free agency.
God damn it. No, I don't have my keeper's pick then. Shit. Who's the quarterback for Jaguars?
Blake Bortles.
Yeah, no, I definitely don't have my keepers set then. God damn it.
Well, he was kind of good last season, so hopefully he's better in his second year.
Yeah, but he's no Peyton Manning.
No, he's not.
Shit, I gotta do homework now.
Yeah, that's the thing is, my team was so bad that my only options were a child beater and then a guy who gets injured every year.
Yeah, but a child beater, he's got nonstop energy. Like if you have enough energy to play football and come home and still beat your kid, I'm good. My
And
dad was a
yes, it's true.
drill instructor in the military, didn't have enough energy to come home and beat me, so I got away with murder during that time.
Yeah.
I got
No.
away with murder.
Adrian Peterson just runs for 2,000 yards and then beats his children.
That's why isn't he running for 3,000?
'Cause he used up part of his energy
That's
beating his children.
my no, he used up part of his 3,000 running to beat his children. His
Yep.
priorities are messed up.
Yeah, he needs to get that rushing title first, break Eric Dickerson's record, and then he can just go grab a switch.
There you go. Nice.
It's perfect.
Right on.
So, not a whole ton's been going on, just been working, been trying to catch up on video games, which I've been out of the loop on for a little bit.
Oh, I'm way out of the loop. Big time.
So,
Only thing I've been playing is the Borderlands pre-sequel, which is just so good.
oh, I
It's
love that
just so
game.
much fun, just like any other Borderlands game so far. Just a lot of fun. Get really immersed in it. Next thing you know, it's been 6 hours,
Oh,
and the
absolutely.
wife's mad.
It's funny because we played through that one twice and played through Borderlands 2 for like the fourth time. So we were like, hey, screw it, let's just go back and play the first one for the eighth time.
That's funny because I saw you and Tracy playing the Borderlands, and I was like, oh, I got to get this game back to them. I think they're mad at me. They're playing the first one.
No, we just really missed the first one.
Oh, it's such a good game.
It
Such a
is.
good game.
Because there's just like so many different areas that you're running around. You're like, oh man, I forgot about this fun area, and I forgot about this character, and I forgot about all this stuff. So just playing through like the downloadable content.
Well, it's really a game you kind of had to play in order to really appreciate the other ones,
Oh
but
yeah.
going back to the first one, it was so unique at its time.
Yes, it was.
Like I played that first one for, gosh, like 6 or 7 weeks solid. And then went back to Call of Duty, and it completely fucked me up, just because the bold lines of the original one and the cartoony kind of
Oh yeah.
action play. Like when I went back to Call of Duty, like completely messed me up. But I love Borderlands, love Call of Duty. I love the pre-sequel. It's so much fun. It's enjoyable. Australian accent, like I get it now. I've kind of bought in. It took me about probably 8 solid hours of playtime to really buy in.
It's jarring now, at first.
It is. I mean, it's just different. It's but it's different. Good having a, you know, a unique type of landscape. Having the whole space thing takes a little time to get used to, and the oxygen meter, but kind of keeps you on your toes a little bit more.
Yeah. And are you still playing as Athena?
I am. Still same character. I wish I had Claptrap now, but I'm like, I haven't finished the storyline, but I'm working on it. I'm getting pretty close, I think. I keep getting, either get stuck on the storyline missions, or I get stuck on the side missions. Like, I go one way or the other, but either way, it's 3 or 4 hours at a time.
Oh, yeah.
Doing missions. I'm, like, trying to go back, and, you know, I'm a completist at heart, but Borderlands is such a hard one to do. It can be a completist at.
It takes forever, and it's insanely difficult.
And just, like, all the swag they give you, it's really kind of upsetting. I want all this stuff, but I don't have room for it.
And some of it's just not that good.
No, there's some of it's just, like, you get at a certain level, and just everything you get's crap.
Oh, yeah, especially since they start implementing the golden keys. Because everything you get in the golden key chest is so much better than anything you're going to get in the game. That you'll just have random guns, and you're like, oh, cool, this is a not bad gun. And then you pick some stuff up, you're like, oh, it's super rare, it's purple. Oh, it's not as good as what I have.
Yeah, that's the thing about the color coding, about you know, how rare it is. Just, it kind of fibs a little bit, because you get some guns that are, like, orange that are super crap.
Absolutely.
They're always pistols. I get a bunch of pistols that are bullshit.
It's really weird, because even if I don't play with pistols, if I'm using, like, only, like, SMGs and shotguns, it's still like, all right, have a revolver, have a semi-auto pistol, have another revolver.
See, I'm a guy, like, I used to be big time about the sniper rifles, and I still like using them on Borderlands, because there are certain areas where you get, where you want to take people out from a distance.
Oh, yeah.
But for the most part, I'm about the SMGs and the machine guns.
Yeah, they're so much fun.
They're good, and they're abundant, really.
Yeah, they are, especially when you're fighting bandits, because you just get 1,000 machine guns, and one of them's, you know, bound to be good.
Yeah.
So which area are you in?
Oh, my gosh. I don't even know the area names, to be honest with you. And that's the other thing. I get stuck on exploring, so I want to discover every area.
Yeah.
Try to find missions early. As far as the storyline goes, I have no idea where I'm actually in line with that. I feel like I'm on the latter half, but I could be just right about 50%, but I'm at least 50% is the amount of time I put into it. So,
have you gone to the big, like, headquarters for Hyperion that it kind of looks like a space mall?
Yes. Yeah, I'm okay. There. Yeah. I've done several missions out of there. Okay, one with the giant statue where you got to take his head.
Oh, man, that one's funny.
Yeah, I'm past the taking the head just as of recently. I've built the giant robot, you know, that you kind of sets up the whole sequel. Borderlands 2.
Sets up the constructor. You build the constructor.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I built the constructor and everything. And then I've done two storyline missions after that. So.
Okay, so yeah, you're probably like 70% of the way through the story.
Okay, it's hard to tell with Borderlands unless you, like, sneak a peek and find out.
Exactly.
You're just going to have to go with faith in the storyline. But I'm getting into the points of the storyline where it's definitely taking longer to do the missions, so I know that I'm getting to the latter half.
This is really funny, because when you play through it, you forget who all these different characters are and stuff.
Yeah.
So we went through and we played, you know, Borderlands 2 when it first came out, played all the DLC. Then when the pre-sequel came out, played through that. And then we played through it again when the new, like, HD remakes came out.
Mm-hmm.
And then playing through the pre-sequel, we met all these characters that when we played through Borderlands 2 again and all of its DLC, we're like, oh, now I understand where every single one of these characters came from.
Yeah, they kind of set it up pretty good.
Like, there's a random scientist that you just hang out with and talk to a bunch in that big Hyperion mall who ends up, like, running basically a tribe of savages out in the wild in Borderlands 2.
Yeah.
And, like, you totally forget that psychopath was, you know, in the pre-sequel, because he was just, like, a character you maybe did two missions for. And then he's, like, the entire backbone of one of the downloadable content packs.
Well, when you got a bunch of developers that their entire heart and soul is, you know, this game, they're very familiar with the story. And so it's easier for them to do a transition of, like, you know, create a character and make a big backstory in another game. Whereas a player, I don't really spend a whole lot of time. But if I got some kind of guide, like if there was something a little bit more immersive about showing you that a character is continually through the story, I'd be down to learn. I appreciate it.
You know what they need is those Mass Effect codex things.
I don't know, man. I didn't play Mass Effect that much. Oh.
Well, basically, anytime you went anywhere in Mass Effect or talked to anybody, it was like that RPG thing. It would just add it to this giant, like, encyclopedia in your options menu. So you could go through, like, oh, here's this, here's this, here's this.
You kind of need something, yeah, because it's like you kind of underappreciate the story because you, like, I don't remember.
Oh, absolutely.
I just play. I don't remember, but I really appreciate what the developers did and all the programmers. Like, they made an amazing game.
Well, did you play Far Cry 3?
No, I only played the demo. I never actually played it.
Okay, well, they had a character in that game who was a CIA agent who, every time you went anywhere, no matter what you did, like animals, plants, locations, people, you'd open your journal and it would just be narrated by him. And it would just be the CIA agent going, oh, this guy's a douchebag. I once shot him in the leg. And then he ran away and he explains who every single person is. And even like plants and stuff. He'd be like, this one's poisonous if you eat it. This one's fun for playing pranks on people. Hmm. And even being like an action first-person shooter, it's still helpful knowing like who's who. Because you forget.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Like, I don't remember shit. I'm old. I'm an OG gamer, you know? Like, I'm from Atari and Television Day. You gotta bear with me a little bit more.
Well, like, even the thing is, like, Borderlands, I've played the first one literally 8 times, and I still don't remember half the people in it.
It's because you're a freak.
Dude, that game's so much fun.
It is fun, but you're a freak.
Yes.
Or you're broke, one or the other.
Both.
Okay, there you go. A freaky broke person.
Definitely broke. So yeah, so you know, apart from playing some Borderlands, I beat the last Arkham game.
Which one's that?
Arkham Knight.
Oh, the newest one, huh?
Yeah.
How was it?
I enjoyed most of it.
Most of it?
There was a couple things I thought were stupid.
Yeah, what's that?
Like, well, you have the Batmobile.
Yeah.
Which is fun to tear around Gotham and blowing crap up. But there are two missions where they force you to use, like, the Batmobile's tank mode.
Okay.
And it's just, like, 45 minutes of strafing around enemy tanks in your hover tank. And if they see you from a certain direction, you're dead almost instantly.
Oh, weird. Well, it's just challenging, I guess.
Yeah. And it's just, like, it's not the fact that it's challenging or that it takes forever. It's the fact that, like, they set up these really cool encounters with, like, big villains. We're like, oh, hey, this guy who's a master at hand-to-hand combat and is a master assassin, you're going to go fight him. And then it's like you shoot his tank, run around, shoot his tank, shoot his tank, shoot his tank, and then a cutscene Batman punches him once, and it's like, all right, take him to jail. He's done.
Because that's all Batman needs.
Yeah. It's just weird how, like, a lot of the encounters with bad guys are really cool, but there's just, like, a couple of the major ones they just neuter.
Oh, nice.
But I still enjoyed the game a lot. Well, just getting to cruise around Gotham was a lot of fun.
They were set, like, the whole series was just so good. It was so much fun. Playability was good. Replayability was really good. Fluid game motion. So they had a hit sitting there in their pocket for sure.
Oh, absolutely. And, like, there's a lot of just fun little stuff in this game that you can find. Like, if you go to Batman's penthouse and listen to his voicemails, you'll just, like, randomly hear one from Lex Luthor just trying to hang out with him and buy some guns from him.
Hey, Batman, you want to go get some beer and pussy?
Basically, yeah.
All right, yeah. Nice.
So, no, there's lots of really cool stuff about it. I enjoyed it a lot.
Good. Good.
So, this November, when you get an Xbox One, you should definitely play it.
When you get an Xbox One, we play together?
That, too.
Yeah. Call of Duty time, baby. Black Ops 3 is coming out. And I'm just such a loyal Black Ops fan that...
Black Ops is so much fun.
Oh, I'm so good at it, too. Like,
that is true. It's the only, like, multiplayer one I'm good at.
Yeah, compared to the regular Call of Duty, like, I still enjoy it. For some reason, Like when Black Ops 2, you know, showed their preview, I was like, nah, I don't think it's gonna be very good. Loved it. Was good at it. Black Ops 1, really good at it. So Black Ops 3, as much as I'm like, I gotta have a little faith in the series because I think it's gonna be just as good as the other one. So I'm gonna play it, and I'm gonna be good at it. So I'm gonna kick some ass.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm
was this funny because when I played the second one, the first, like when you had the little like side mode where you had to set up all the turrets and all your troops to fight the enemies that were attacking, like the kind of little tower defense game you could do on the side.
Yeah.
I hated that the first time I played it, but then afterwards I'm like, oh, this is really fun, and got super addicted to that mode along with the rest of the story mode. And I ended up loving Black Ops 2, even though I thought I was going to despise it.
I thought, yeah, looking at the previews and stuff, I was like, this is too futuristic-y bullshit. And I kind of feel that same way about Black Ops 3 because of the whole advanced warfare thing. I don't really give a shit about the jetpacks and stuff like that, but it's been such a different game for Call of Duty, the regular run.
Oh, yeah.
And Black Ops. Like, I feel like they're, like, it really is. I get it, because if you make a game and it's similar to Black Ops or similar to Call of Duty in general, I guess, you have to call it Call of Duty because they'll basically say you ripped it off. So you might as well call it Call of Duty. But it feels like two completely different games to me.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and plus there's nothing better than Nuketown on the very first Black Ops.
Oh, Nuketown was so much fun and terrible at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
Because you get the freaks that play it 24/7, and once you get spawn trapped, you're completely screwed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But it's just so fun, like when you could run and like shoot somebody, then dolphin dive through the bedroom window, shoot another person in midair, and then land on top of the bus.
Dolphin dive. Such an internet term.
I know.
Love it, though.
But it was so fun, though.
No, it was fun. Like, yeah, I mean, it's weird to play Call of Duty, you know, 3 and 4 and just kind of be okay at it. And then play Black Ops and crush. Like, there's guys that crush, like, super crush. Like, they're freaks. But, I mean, I played one game of Black Ops 2 where I went 27-0 for the first, you know, like, I went 27 kills before I got killed.
Yeah.
And that doesn't happen in a regular Call of Duty game for me. But in Black Ops, for some reason, no problem.
I mean, I love, like, Black Ops, because I also played with a group of guys where we'd play Domination for just hours on end.
It's definitely better to play with a group rather than a bunch of strangers. Because you get a bunch of strangers and some guy's a fucking asshole. You get the camper and you get the rusher. And both those guys are going to cause your team to lose.
Oh, yeah. But it was just, I was amazed because that's the only time I could have like a positive kill-death ratio was on Black Ops 1 and 2.
And then the
never
first
happened on Advanced Warfare, Modern Warfare.
Well, Advanced Warfare, I have a positive KD, but it's like slim. But Black Ops 2, I literally went into the hole real quick because I don't read the manual, I don't do the training thing. Like, I jumped in online just as a complete greenhorn, and so I got behind like 200 deaths. So I had to work my way back, and now I have the last time I played it, of course, you know, been a year ago at least, I had like a 1.7 KD ratio, so not bad coming back from being literally 200 deaths below my KD. So I died 200 more times than I had killed, so
that's pretty impressive.
I'm stoked about it, you know, like it's something that you can't take with you when you die, but you know, while you're here, you enjoy it.
Amen. And on like one final note about the Black Ops series, their levels always had like fun little things that you could do. Like Nuketown had those buses, and then one of the little like Asian cities had the zip lines you could go on.
You just fly across the level. I miss the zip lines. That was awesome.
Because it's just so great, because even when you died, like, in midair, it's still worth it, because you could, like, zipline and shoot people with your gun in one hand like an awesome action star.
Well, and that, it was a game changer, really, like, Advanced Warfare tried to use the jetpacks, but ziplines, like, you have preset runs, but you could still totally jump on it and get away, and you can cause a spawn flip, And having kind of built in, you know, map hazards, I guess you would say, like that is fine. When you have a bunch of people that have jetpacks and you don't know where they're going to jump out of, or lateral jump or vertical jump or, you know, whatever, you know, it was okay. Like, I enjoyed it. They did it way better than that other bullshit game. I can't even remember. the one with the giant robots.
Titanfall.
What a piece of shit. And so, yeah, Titanfall, like, did the whole hype of, like, hey, these used to be a bunch of developers for Call of Duty, and we're going to add jump packs and give you giant robots. And I'm like, Advanced Warfare kind of did it better. That's all I had to say.
Yeah. No, I understand. It's because Advanced Warfare had some good stuff going on.
No, it was fun. Like, you could even have the option to play with, you know, like, well, I guess Titanfall had the thing where you couldn't play with it. You could choose not to play with the Titans, which was fine. But you still had those bullshit, like, just robot guys. Like, I don't need drones and shit in my game. I don't need, like, there's enough people to play Call of Duty. I don't have to, you know, 3 years after the game comes out, I don't have to worry about playing against robots.
Yeah, I mean, because I know that one of the Black Ops had the little, like, computer-controlled player mode.
Yeah,
but that was just a separate mode by itself.
It originally started off as a separate mode by itself, just kind of get you up to tempo. So you set your difficulty level. And then with, like, Advanced Warfare, you could actually use it to rank up. So it wasn't detrimental to your KD or anything like that. It was like, it was a training cycle that you could use to actually get yourself up to a level, you know, here and there to unlock some weapons and stuff like that, which I totally get, which was really good. Kind of started out, and every time you prestiged, you know, you could use that same training mode to level up to unlock some weapons again.
Yeah, I mean, it's just handy having modes at times.
Sometimes it's okay, yeah. It's better than zombie mode all the time. Like,
yeah, that's
the one thing
true.
About Black Ops I don't really care for is that zombie modes can be fun, but you really have to play with people. You can't utilize it by yourself or else you die.
Yeah, I just never really play it.
No, I don't. I like the storylines, what they do with them. I like the actors they get, but I don't really care for sitting down. Like, zombie mode is not my objective when I play Call of Duty. It's really it's really about the you know, the multiplayer and the you know, all-out war. Like, that's what I enjoy.
Absolutely, because it's just more fun that way. So, one of the other things I was doing is, did you see that they released that new trailer for Deadpool?
I did. Well, I didn't see I saw the teaser trailer. I didn't actually watch the trailer yet. Is it good?
Yeah, they unveiled the actual, like, full trailer on Conan O'Brien.
Was it the same Comic-Con trailer?
Yes.
Oh, okay, then I've seen it.
It's just, like, a nice, like, high definition, and they made it to where that episode of Conan O'Brien was rated NC-17.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Conan's on a network where he says shit all the time now, so.
Yeah, but this one, they say the F word a whole lot.
Do they really?
Yeah.
They don't bleep it?
Not that I was aware of. I mean, I watched the trailer online.
I left a little
But from pause. What I heard.
I left a little pause there because I don't know if you can hear stuff that I play on my computer.
I can't.
So you don't hear this?
Nope.
You don't hear anything. Okay. All right, that's all right. So we can cut that out, but I wasn't sure because I wasn't sure how it worked with Skype.
Yeah, no, definitely. No, I mean, I think normally the only time is when, like, you have it hardwired into the computer and you play music like that.
Yeah, I wasn't sure because, you know, like, we do the podcast at your house. You can play stuff on your computer.
Exactly.
So I wasn't sure if it worked that same way. So, anyway, yeah, but yeah. All right, so we can kind of cut this in again. But so I've watched the Deadpool trailer at the Comic-Con thing, and no, it looks great. Looks fun.
Absolutely.
If they keep the same, you know, Ryan Reynolds, I think, is finally getting his due, so I hope it does really good.
Me too. I like, it's one of those things, like, I was watching and I was like, man, I really hope that it's not like, I hope they don't ruin it or anything. but I think it looks awesome.
I think it's really, I hate to say it, but it's almost difficult to ruin.
Yeah.
Because Deadpool is such a ridiculous character, but he's so much fun. And it really is like, it's Van Wilder with acid burns on his face or whatever, you know?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's Van Wilder afterlife. And so Ryan Reynolds is the perfect actor to play it. So I'm super stoked about it. Kind of the first, he's not really a, like, he's a, I don't know if he's, do they call him a superhero?
Yes.
They do?
To call him, yeah, they call him a superhero because of his powers and stuff.
And his powers are that he can't really die, really. Like, he heals quick. What other powers does he have, though?
In certain versions, he can short distance teleport.
I guess, yeah, yeah.
And then he also, it kind of changes based on,
is he
like what version of the comic it is. That's the issue.
Yeah, well, it's like, does he have the power of the devil, or what is it? What is the main thing behind his power?
It's mostly like a kind of amped up version of Wolverine. With this whole like healing and not being able to die and not really aging, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And then his other thing is, like, his other main power is he can, you know, literally talk to people in reality.
What does that mean?
I guess breaking the fourth wall, you know?
Oh, just like, kind of, yeah, well, you're talking to the camera is what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly.
Breaking that wall down. Well, I mean, playing the game kind of gave me a tonal type thing with it. And I really enjoyed the tone. And so if they can translate that to the movie, dude, I'll pay $40 for a ticket.
Oh, yeah. Well, I know that when, I mean, like 6 years ago when he started trying to make this movie, like he said that he was trying to kind of copy Nolan North's version of Deadpool, which is what the video game was made by.
Which was really good.
Exactly. So I know that's what he tries to do.
We'll see if he pulls it off, but I think there's so many eyes on it that pretty much has to at this point. They have to pull it off. You have the original Blade, Deadpool, and Green Lantern, and whatever else shitty movie that Ryan Reynolds has done. It's kind of, you know, hovering over this, that it has to be good. It has to be
Yeah.
good.
Because no one else will let him be like an action hero.
After, yeah, like if this tanks, like he's untouchable. Unfortunately, he's untouchable, and he's such a like a fun guy and a brilliant actor, in my opinion.
Right.
Like it has to be good, and I just have faith that it will be good.
That's what's so frustrating is it's like, man, he's so fun to watch in movies.
No, I mean, like, well, take it back even to like, you know, Two Guys, a Girl, and a Pizza Place, like.
Oh yeah,
he was a great actor then, and we have talked multiple times about the little cameos he's done. Van Wilder was a fun movie. I saw that shit in the theater. Like, I don't regret spending any money on that.
Movie's great.
And like, then you watch Green Lantern, and it's like it's not the acting that's a problem at all. Like,
oh no,
he does a good job acting. It's a shitty movie because it was edited and the special effects are fucking terrible.
Special effects are awful.
Oh, and the editing of the movie is completely shit.
And it's just super weird because it's like they start in that movie going for a full on like sci-fi, like true to the comic books thing where they have like all the aliens and all that crap. And then halfway through they kind of just like change it.
And I think that was the problem with a lot of the early, you know, superhero comic book movies, is they try to stay so true to the comic book, which I enjoy, but when you can't pull it off, it's a big deal. And so,
yeah,
you know,
and especially sucks when you try to back it up a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, X-Men came out and completely changed the game, and it took a while for all the other film studios to really fall in line with that. You know, like the original Hulk. I mean, how many different Hulks and Spider-Mans have we had?
Oh, hell. Three Hulks, and I think four Spider-Men.
Yeah, we're at least, is it four Spider-Men now?
I think so. Well, nope, three. Actually, you're right.
I think it's just three and three. It's, you know, and
yeah.
And it really was about, you know, Norton didn't want to do the Avengers. It was a contract dispute. So that's where Mark Ruffalo came in. Or else it would be Ed Norton in the Avengers, which would be amazing.
Oh, yeah, dude. I love
Ruffalo. Ruffalo's awesome, but Norton's method, like, pure and simple.
Oh, he's great.
Yeah, American History X to play him Hulk. Come on.
Oh, absolutely.
Love to see Hulk fucking curb stomp, you know, somebody. That'd be awesome.
Just a random guy then gets sent to a prison where he has to defend his swastika tattoos.
Don't make the Hulk angry. Curb stomp your ass. And, like, they'd be just breaking, like, his top of his head would just pop off, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
It'd be fine.
But no, I'm really excited for Deadpool. I think it'd be pretty awesome. And I did you notice the little, like, nod they made to the Green Lantern in the movie? Or in the trailer?
I guess no. I missed it.
As they're, like, wheeling him away to go do the surgeries on him.
And oh,
like,
yes. Yes. I do remember this, but go ahead.
The part where he's like, all right, if I get a super suit, make sure it's not green.
Yes.
I do. Or yeah, animated.
I totally did see that. Yeah. No, he's like, yeah. I'm going to call out to, like, hey, that was a shitty movie. Sorry I was involved in it. Please give me another chance.
Yeah. It's just so funny.
No, it's, you know, I don't know. Like, the dude looks great. Like, he's a committed actor. Like, he's kept his body in shape. Like, he's kept his craft honed. I want him to succeed so much.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Van Wilder was fun. Coming off the whole American Pie thing, and then it came out with the Green Lantern. It was literally like going down the interstate and pulling the emergency brake. It was just terrible. It was terrible.
Well, it's also interesting, like, the different types of movies he's made, because he was just known mostly for, like, just random, like, romantic comedies and things like that.
Well, I mean, he can play the kind of. A lot of comedians can play the drama role a little bit with a comedic humor, or they can play pure drama. So, yeah. You know, comedic actors get the whole, you know, psychotic guy, but they get the romantic comedies as well. So it just depends on where you fall, you know. I mean, Robin Williams played the psycho quite a few times, or the guy with issues, you know, and it really kind of was really true of his life, unfortunately. If you ever watch Final Cut,
that's a weird one.
It is a weird movie, and it was, like, I loved it when it came out. Like, I was such a fan of it and an advocate for it, because I really felt that it was indicative of our time, I guess. And then I really thought Robin did a fantastic job acting it, and now it feels almost real.
Yeah,
it's unfortunate, I guess, but good at the same time. So, like, if you haven't watched Final Cut, go back and watch Final Cut. Kind of a movie ahead of its time, really.
Yeah, it was. I only saw it the one time, but it was definitely I was not expecting it.
And the first time I watched it, it was fantastic. It was really good. I really enjoyed it. And I went back, watched it a second time, and it was almost sad, I guess, at the time.
Yeah.
And so I watched it a third time after he died, and it seemed almost too real and sad, because it felt real, because you saw the emotion, I guess, behind it. And
yeah.
But I was going to say that there's three movies of Robin Williams. Like, every Robin Williams movie I've ever watched, I appreciated, because I had just such a bond with his comedy, his humor, or even his acting. But the three movies that I really kind of push on people, if I say, like, three movies to watch of Robin Williams that completely will take you out of the whole I'm Robin Williams, you know, I'm Mork from Ork.
Yeah,
would be Final Cut, Insomniac.
That movie is so crazy.
Insomniac is completely wild, and then What Dreams May Come.
I haven't seen that one.
I watched that one in the theater when it came out. It's Have you ever watched Constantine from?
Yes. Yeah,
so, you know, it's the whole heaven and hell type thing. So basically what dreams may come is Robin Williams' wife committed suicide. And so he, in the afterlife, has to go and try to save her from this purgatory that's in suicide. And
Yeah,
this was, I mean, really what kind of made this movie get traction is it's coming off after Jerry Maguire.
Yeah.
Who was Cuba Gooding Jr. won his Oscar, and he made an appearance in the movie, and that's really what I think got traction to it.
Okay.
So that's what got it in the theaters and kind of made it hung around. But I went and watched it in the theaters, and I don't know why it resonated with me so much. I really haven't watched it in years. It could be terrible, but at the time, I thought it's just all about that acting and the ability to portray like happy and sad at the same time. And I think that really was part of Robin's life, unfortunately.
Yeah, definitely from like all the reports you hear, it sure seemed to be.
Yeah. I mean, if you want a feel-good movie that's kind of has a bad ending, Awakenings would be a good one.
Yeah.
You ever watched Awakenings?
I don't think I have.
Him, no. Robin Williams and Robert De Niro?
No, I definitely haven't
it's
seen
that one.
It's
based on a true story. A doctor tries, he has all these catatonic people. He tries this new combination of drugs and ends up bringing them out of their catatonic state, and they get a live their lives again, but unfortunately the drug only lasts for a certain amount of time, and he keeps increasing the dosage to keep them kind of around, but they still have all these issues and episodes and everything, and eventually become catatonic again. And it's very sad, but at the same time it's like when in the middle of it you watching it, it's, I don't know, it's very sweet, it's genuine, to fact know it was based on a true story is good.
Okay.
I mean, Robin played a few doctors that didn't have good endings, and you know, I every time he played a role that made you sad, you knew that he would come out with a role that made you happy. And now that he's gone, it's harder to watch the stuff that's sad.
Oh yeah, because then you're just like, well, now
there
what?
Is yeah, there is no uplifting moments like, oh, this guy hung himself because whatever he was dealing with was too much for him to bear, and that's his decision, his choice, and you know, he dealt with that for however long, and it, you know, for the rest of us we feel robbed a little bit, but that's, you know, he's at peace now.
Exactly, which I mean, it sucks, but it's also good.
It sucks, but you know, nobody would step in, like nobody was going to step in and tell him any different. Unfortunately, he's in that type of world where they're just going to agree with him, but
yeah, they only have yes men.
Yeah, exactly. And it's if somebody would have came to me and said, hey, you know, if you could wipe out everything he's ever done for him to live the rest of his life, or to keep what he's done and for, you know, him to die the way he did, what would you do? It would, you know, it honestly would be a real struggle, because he gave me so much laughter and so much inspiration and appreciation for what he did, that I really love that. And to have to make a choice to say, hey, that's all going to get taken away, but he's going to live a full life. There's a selfishness there. It's like, I want what he did for me, but at the same time, I don't want somebody to feel so abused and neglected to the point where they have to take their own life, because they feel so isolated. Yeah, it's, I mean, it's just tough. Like, it was a hard day when he passed away, and it's still hard now when I go back and watch his stuff, but I appreciate his stuff so much. I enjoy his stuff. His work, I mean, his body of work is phenomenal. Like, there's very few actors out there that has the wide range that he had.
No, he managed to hit a crazy... Just between like all his cartoons, his serious movies, his funnier movies, his ones that seem funny but were a lot more serious once you look at them.
Absolutely. I mean, everybody remembers Mrs. Doubtfire and Birdcage and all the fun stuff. But, you know, and when you go back and watch Insomniac or what is it, the film one, the film booth one, it's like what, 60-minute film or something like that, or 90 minutes?
Oh, yeah.
I can't remember.
60. I think it was like 60 Minute Photo or.
Something like that, yeah, where he was like a completely creepy dude with bleach blonde hair.
Oh,
Yeah, I
yeah.
mean, he's a complete psycho and he pulls it off so well. And he's Mork from Mork. Like, I don't need Mork from Mork being a psycho, but he does it so well. I don't think comedians do it so well. And get back to our original conversation of Ryan Reynolds being able to play a serious role as a comedian is really, it's so easy for them because comedy is so ridiculous that
Yeah.
when you play such a serious role, it feels ridiculous when you're doing it, but it comes through to the viewer like tenfold. You can play a completely crazy person and you can sell it really well.
I mean, yeah, or even just like more serious. Like, I thought, I mean, Smokin' Aces is just such a weird,
But
ridiculous
it's so
movie.
much fun.
But his character is just so subdued in it.
It's just so much fun because Smokin' Aces is just like a bunch of bullets going off and
Oh yeah.
crazy characters and.
And plus, like, when you think about it, like all the famous actors who are in that movie for little time.
Right?
Because like even like Chris Pine was in it. Maybe 15 minutes.
Was he really?
Yeah, he was one of the Nazi brothers.
I don't remember that, but I think you mentioned that before. But for me,
Yeah, he
it's
was
like your
him
dad
and
was in
Kevin Durant.
Chips.
What was that?
For me, it's just like, hey, buddy, your dad was in Chips.
Oh yeah.
Eric Estrada and your dad totally patrolled these streets.
It's just so funny. But yeah, like I love watching Smokin' Aces just to see the craziness. Like, but Ben Affleck's in it for 5 minutes and then he dies.
Yeah, but fucking Mallrats? Come on. Ben Affleck was fucking awesome.
Oh yeah. Well, it's just funny that like just you see like all these famous people come out of nowhere and then like half of them die just horrible deaths just randomly.
Yeah.
And then Booger survives.
Well, I mean, yeah, it was just like, I don't know. It was like Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels and
Oh,
the other
yeah.
Guy Ritchie movie. Like, yeah,
Snatch.
Snatch. Like, they're so much fun. They're kind of based in the same reality, really. Like, they could all happen in the same world just because
Oh,
it was so much
absolutely,
fun.
they could. I mean, easily, too. Just be like, oh, no, this one was just in Europe.
Yeah, right? But no, just fun movies. And then, unfortunately, Smokin' Aces 2 was not that great.
See, I haven't seen that
No,
one.
it was okay. It wasn't that great. Like, it's one of those ones that kind of takes away from the original a little bit.
I believe it. I hate when they make those kind of like more direct to DVD ones.
Yeah, well, I mean, this one, I think, had a very, very limited release in theaters and, like, turned around the next week and then kind of showed up on demand. But.
Oh, gotcha.
So, anyway, I got a few things to talk about.
All right, what's
So,
up?
I recently watched a few stand-up specials.
Oh, which
I
ones?
watched Jim Norton's Contextuality Inadequate.
I listened to part of that today when I was doing some
It
sign
was
installs, but just in little, like, mixed up pieces.
decent, not great, not bad. I would
Yeah.
recommend it.
Jim Norton's
Jim
fun.
Norton's a fun guy, and he really talks about like if you're a Jim Norton fan, like you're really on the inside. But if you don't know anything about him, it's a little tougher to follow because this whole thing with Opie and Anthony, he goes
Yeah.
off on. But Tig Notaro.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she has her new kind of comedy slash documentary out.
Oh, yeah, I saw that pop
Yeah,
up.
that follows her whole thing of getting breast cancer and C. diff and her mother dying and her girlfriend breaking up with her and just the unfortunate series of events that she had. And it was phenomenal. It was really well done. And I knew it was coming, but it was really, really well done.
Yeah.
So I'd recommend that one big time. And I feel like I watched one other like stand-up special, but I can't think of it at the moment.
Was it like the Ralphie May one that stealth released on Netflix?
No, I didn't watch that. Oh no, Todd Barry, the crowd work tour.
Oh,
Oh
okay,
my
yeah.
God, so much fun.
Yeah, they played part of that one on Sirius the other day.
So much fun. Like it starts out really well, and then kind of lulls a little bit. It's decent, and then it finishes strong. Todd
Yeah.
Barry is a fucking animal, and it's so good. I really recommend it.
I like Todd Barry. He's fun.
Yeah, and then I started watching Eugene Merman's newest special, and it kind of killed the mood. Love him on.
He's such a weird comedian.
He is a weird comedian, and I get him, and I can still watch his special, but, you know, like, he's not Bob's Burgers, Eugene Merman. No. You know, and I get that, and I understand that, I appreciate it, but at the same time, I feel like he's trying to play up that, I don't know, the angle. I just feel like he doesn't have the material to support, you know, a hour special, really.
Well, it's funny because the only, like, bit of his that I ever remember is the one where he talks about trying to get illegal help at Home Depot.
I don't think I've heard that bit from him.
Oh, he talks about how, like, he goes to Home Depot with his terrible Spanish and tries to get illegal help for his lawn maintenance. Mm-hmm. But then he, like, asks them all these political questions.
Oh, really?
See which one can give the most, like, well-rounded and smart response.
So this is basically like a Miss Universe competition?
Basically, yeah. It's a funny bit, but that's, like, the only piece of his comedy I ever remember. Everything else, I'm like, was that him?
I don't know. Yeah, and I don't really remember his comedy. I remember more his interaction with the other comedians.
Yeah.
Like, when he's on At Midnight or Bob's Burgers, like, unfortunately, that's where he really comes into play.
Who was the episode of At Midnight he was on last week?
Oh, I can't remember who was with him. I watched it. It was decent.
Was that the one that was Rob Riggle?
No, he wasn't with Rob Riggle. Rob Riggle was with, oh my gosh, they were all Al Madrigal, and they were all guys that got started on Daily Show because it was like a Daily Show tribute.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, and so it was Rob Riggle, Al Madrigal, and shit, I can't remember the last guy that was on there. I can't remember. But no, yeah, they were all At Midnight people who started out because Rob Riggle.
Oh, it was Ed Helms.
Oh, that's right. It was Ed Helms. And Ed Helms won.
Yes.
Yep.
Which, actually, now that I think about it, I may have gotten Al Madrigal confused with Eugene Merman again.
What?
Because I do that a lot.
Oh, the mildly Hispanic dude with the fat, chubby, white Jew.
Yes. So I think Al Madrigal is actually the one who did the Home Depot bit. And then Eugene Merman, I think he's the one who did the joke about living with, like, a druggie and having a housekeeper.
That's fine. Your racism. You have to live with it. Whatever.
I'm not denying it.
Al Madrigal, you
all I'm just saying it happened. I didn't say they look the same. I said they sound the same when they talk.
No, I'm saying
it's different. Yeah.
Well, it's weird because you say Al Madrigal looks like every other Jew in the world, apparently, is what you're saying. So it's a rough thing.
No, I'm saying he sounds like every Jew. It's different.
Okay. A lot of complaining.
I'm only auditory racist.
Okay. Just like, yeah.
So my Confederate flag just flies on my earbuds.
Or your General Lee that's right in front of you.
Well, yes, that too.
Well, anyway, so I, you know, a couple other things. Like, I'm sorry, I'm like butting in here, but there's more stuff.
That's cool.
Touch on. So, Fallout 4.
That looks awesome.
Did you hear the Fallout 4 news?
No, I did not.
So they say when the main story is over, there's no level cap.
Oh, really?
Oh my God, there's no level.
Thank cap. Thank goodness.
Apparently. So you can keep playing, keep leveling up.
That'll be awesome.
I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, though.
I think it will be good. I mean, yes, it will cause some crazy addiction problems, but I think it'll be good just because there's so many games I play right now where it's like, all right, you can hit level 20 or level 40 and you're screwed.
Well, it seems like a good thing for the people that really enjoy it. I really enjoy it, but I don't have a lot of time.
Yeah.
So it seems like a bad thing like if I have to play people that really enjoy it and have a lot of time.
Oh, gotcha.
So when they're like level 172, and I'm level 14. It's not going to play out well.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
See, no. I'm just, you know, curious because I've never liked any Fallout game. But I really want to play Fallout 4.
Fuck off and die, John.
You know, that's what most people say.
Yeah, Fallout 3? Amazing.
I didn't like it.
Fallout New Vegas? Little glitchy? But once you get the Game of the Year edition, takes care of that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, unless you play it on the PlayStation 3 and then it just sets on fire.
Well, yeah, but that's obvious, though. If you're going to play it on a PlayStation, it's going to play like shit because you played it on a PlayStation.
It's just funny that they can't. Hey, it was free. And by free, I mean I borrowed it from David.
So it's free, and you're bitching about it.
Yes.
Yeah. No.
Which point?
You're a bitch.
Oh, okay.
Bitcher. Sorry,
bitcher. As long as we made that clear.
Okay, you're a bitcher.
Okay, cool.
All right. No. So, all right, well, I guess we'll move on. So tonight is Jon Stewart's last night hosting the Daily Show. It seems like it's always
been his. What the hell?
But it has not always been his.
Yeah, sorry, my computer just freaked out for a second.
No worries. Are we still recording?
Oh, yeah, no. Did you hear just random audio start playing?
I did not, no.
Thank God. All right, cool.
So tonight is Jon Stewart's last night on The Daily Show.
Yeah,
it's crazy that's to believe sad. That it's not only, like, the end of an era, but, he didn't even start the show. So...
Yeah.
An old ESPN guy started the show, and now Jon Stewart took over for him. And so it's supposed to be Louis C.K. and Amy Schumer, and I think old host for the show, our own old correspondent for the show is supposed to show up. But there's been so many ends of an era this year. I'm over it. Letterman's gone. Now Jon Stewart's gone. And Craig Ferguson was gone late last year. I'm over it. I'm done.
I agree. Craig Ferguson was awesome.
What's that?
It's like Craig Ferguson was awesome.
Oh, he was so much fun. And they just, I think the network cringed at the fact that a Scottish guy could actually host an 11:30 late show. Like, he could have pulled it off. Like, I'm sure what's his face will do fine, but I really enjoyed Craig Ferguson. I'm a Letterman, Craig Ferguson, Jon Stewart fan. So it's all over now, though. So what do I have to live for? I don't know.
I don't either, because that's the sad part.
Yeah. I'm just going to go kill myself. It's fine. Good job, CBS.
That seems like a bad way to go.
Yeah, you know. What are you going to do? Better than being paralyzed and shitting yourself to death. Whatever.
Yeah, but now it means I have to go find another person to join the Fantasy Football League.
Yeah, that's not going to be hard, though.
Yeah, but all the people who want to join, I don't want to join.
Did you hear that, everybody that wants to join? Yeah, fuck you.
Oh, they don't listen.
Dickheads.
That's all good. They won't hear it, so they won't get offended.
Yeah. Well, and then I feel like I had something else, but I think that might be it for the moment.
Oh, okay.
I saw Jurassic World not long ago. I don't know if we discussed that last time I was on or not. I don't remember.
I think we did.
I think it was right after. It was good. Go check it out.
Awesome. I saw the newest Mission Impossible.
How was that?
I thought it was great.
Nice.
I liked it more than Ghost Protocol.
Really? I really enjoyed Ghost Protocol, and I didn't really like, Mission Impossible 2 was shit.
Yes, it was.
Mission Impossible 3 was fun. First one was great. Ghost Protocol was really good, so that's good.
Yes, it was.
Good job, Simon Pegg.
Yeah, I like the newest one more because it has both Simon Pegg and Ving Rhames just getting sassy with each other while talking about computer stuff.
Nice. Little short English-Irish dude getting into it with the big black guy. Yeah.
Nice.
No, I love...
So I really liked it a lot.
It's the whole thing about, I hate Tom Cruise as a person, but God damn it, he makes good movies.
Right? Oh, that's exactly how I feel.
Oblivion? Fucking A.
Edge of Tomorrow was awesome.
Oh, shit. I go back to Minority Report.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck you, Tom Cruise. You make too good of movies for being a Scientologist. Why can't you jump on the John Travolta train and just churn out a bunch of shit?
Because I don't think I want to see Tom Cruise in a fat suit trying to be a woman.
Well, Julie Newmar, I think, would. That's what we're talking about, right?
No,
he was in Julie Newmar, wasn't he? Was it?
No, it was when he was in Hairspray.
No, that was Patrick Swayze. Shit!
Yeah.
It was when he was in what, though?
John Travolta when he was in Hairspray.
Oh!
You didn't watch it because it was a musical.
Yeah, I hate musicals and that whole thing. Like, he played the character that some actual... fuck it, I'm going to say it. At the time, transvestite played, because that's historically accurate.
It is historically accurate.
He, she wasn't a transsexual at the time, was just a tranny. So, yeah, no, Hairspray, like, terrible. But I got stuck on Hello, Julie Newmar, whatever that movie was, with Wesley Snipes, I think it was John Leguizamo, and Patrick Swayze.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, where they're all
I've never actually seen it.
Don't fucking waste your time.
Yeah, I think if I'm going to see something with John Leguizamo, it'll be something else.
What's that?
I just put
anything
else.
Puts you on
the spot. Well, I don't know. He's awesome in Chef.
Oh,
and I know that he's also in some other movies.
Oh, no, he's been a bunch of stuff, but his stand-up special is the best. Of course, you got to catch his performance in the Super Mario Brothers movie.
No,
where
thank
he plays
you.
Luigi.
Luigi Mario?
Next to John Hoskins.
Who plays Mario Mario?
Mario Mario. Oh, my God. Who Framed Roger Rabbit? Have you ever watched Who Framed...
That's a fun one.
Timeless, really.
Absolutely.
Wife and I rented it, you know. I haven't watched it. I had that thing on VHS in 1989. It was a good movie. Yeah, that was my favorite movie as a kid. I mean... Of course, like Star Wars and Kroll.
Well, yeah.
And then Who Framed Roger Rabbit. It was my favorite movie of the late 80s. I'll go with that.
It was a good movie. I didn't understand it when I first watched it because I was like 12.
It didn't matter. There was animated boobs in it. I didn't care.
That's right.
Yeah, I was like 9 when I watched it. It's like 11 or 12 when I watched it the first time. There's animated boobs, and I was like, all in. But we watched it last year, rented it, and holy shit, I think that movie holds up so well because it's set in kind of a past. So it doesn't really get dated. And Hoskins does like such a great job acting with the animation. And I think the animation, like, they actually did sell animation over this live action. It's really good. And it's one of those movies I think parents should show their kids when they're like 12 or 13 years old.
I agree.
Yeah.
Because it's definitely worth watching.
No, it's so much fun. It's like, even as adults, I enjoyed it. I laughed. And, hey, if you don't think you're going to laugh at it, get a little stone and you'll laugh at it. Trust me.
Oh, I will.
Oh, I know you will, John Stoner.
Hey. Jeez.
Never touched an ounce of bud in your life?
I haven't.
I know. Just alcohol for a little bit, and you're like, you checked out. You missed out, bro.
I'm sorry.
Weed time. It's all legal, bro. It's all legal, bro.
But what if I want to play in the NFL one day?
You can still do it, bro.
I don't know, man.
So I actually, sidetrack again. Like, I'm out of it.
That's cool.
So I actually had to call, and for my work, I had to call somebody from California.
Yeah.
And holy shit, I wanted to reach their phone and strangle him. He's like, I got you, brah. We got you, brah.
Why does anyone say that?
You are the manager of a store. And you are telling me you got me, brah. I am not cool
that's
with
just,
that.
No.
I am not cool with that at all, brah. Because brah is for boobs. And you're an asshole. Sorry. That's what I got.
Hey, you know what? It's perfectly acceptable.
I have drank
a
little
bit. I hate that phrase so much. It's all good, man.
I've been a little drinky-drinky because I'm at home with no pants on. Because Skype is awesome.
Yes, it is. It's a very handy tool.
All right. What else we got?
I'm out. I got nothing else. My life is not that exciting.
Really? Wow, I brought it all this week, huh?
Sorry.
No, no, that's fine.
I was trying to get more stuff done, but it didn't work.
No, hey, you sometimes get a little worky work in. You gotta make the money. Yeah, that's all I had, really. Like, there's nothing much else going on. There's a lot of stuff in the entertainment industry happening, but I haven't really been a part of it.
Yeah, me either.
Yeah.
I've had a hard time keeping up, but I will be more prepared for next week, though.
Hey, you know, it's been 3 weeks. We got to get one in. It's been a rough week, rough few weeks for me. I'm sure it's been a rough few weeks for you. Been busy. We had to cancel one of these already.
Yes, we did. Just because somebody felt the need to stay 11 hours at a fire station.
Hey, that may mean it was your fault, but whatever.
Yes, it was my fault.
I'm sure you wanted to be there for 11 hours.
Oh, it was pure heaven, let me tell you.
I bet.
Hanging out in Sun River with a bunch of bored firefighters.
Mm.
Good times.
Hey, it's better than watching a forensic team go into the house next to you. Whatever.
True.
Yeah.
Well, damn.
Yeah. Yeah, so anyway, like, I don't have much else going on. We're going to try to do this a little more frequently now that we have Skype set up, if it turns out okay. I think
absolutely.
Pretty much every Thursday I'll be down. Every other Thursday will be just fine. I'll drink a lot less next time, maybe.
As long as my schedule doesn't make me an hour late to the own podcast.
This is your fault. I blame you.
Yeah. The last 2 weeks have both been my fault, but I'll get it worked out next week.
Yeah, no, it's all good. Next time, it's like I have a shorter amount of time. Maybe I'll be a little high. Whatever.
Yeah, we'll find out.
We shall.
That's a tease for next week.
Yeah. Stay tuned, folk. one folk.
Yeah, I think that works.
Yeah.
GameSportsAndMore.com is the site.
GameSportsAndMore.com. Check out the other podcasts that John has available, and maybe send us a message. Hey, maybe I might have something free to give away to you that I will mail you if you email us.
Perfect. So definitely
I could. I could not, but I definitely could. It might be a dollar in an envelope, but who doesn't want to get a dollar in an envelope?
Yeah.
Right? And I might
dollar in envelope.
I'll
is
lick
worth
that
it.
Envelope. I'll lick that dollar and I'll lick that envelope.
Just sprinkle perfume on it too, just to throw them off this chase.
I got a little cologne. I wear Gucci, motherfuckers.
Oh, see, you're good then.
That's right. I will send you a Gucci sprayed dollar if you email us and say, "Hey, you listen to the podcast, and you don't know us."
Yeah, that's a good thing because
I'm not sending your brothers $5. It's just not happening.
Oh yeah, no. it is a good thing to say if you don't know us.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not sending a bunch of your family members a dollar. It's just not happening.
Yeah, because I have so many siblings, you'd be out of cash quick.
Yeah, it's like an Irish. It's like Braveheart up in here.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, geez. All right, so people, get on that.
All right, get on that. Thanks for joining us, John. Good to talk to you again.
That's right, Richard. We'll see you next week.
All right, man. Take care.
Bye. Bye.